and welcome to the latest episode of the Illinois Realtors Weekly Podcast, keeping you up to date with all the latest news in the realtor world. I'm Jeremy, and I am very thrilled to once again have in the studio our Director of State Governmental Affairs, Mr. Jim Clayton. What's up, Jim? Welcome
What's
back.
What's going on? How are you?
I love it. I love it when you're here because we always be smarter, and you just make us feel good because, again, I've said it before, Jim, the government affairs team here at Illinois Realtors is just second to none the entire state, and I just always love hearing what you guys are up to.
Well, appreciate that. And, you know, like, the reason you think that is the staff members we have, the Gads, Betsy yep. Mitchell. So it's easy to think that way. So yeah. I'm very lucky with the team I have.
Exactly. Well, let's get into it here because we got some stuff to talk about. We want to give a government update to all of our members. So, of course, we're kind of like in the middle of a session right now. The last time we talked to you, we kind of previewed the session and what we were going to do there. Do you have any updates on that? And I think you have a little bit about kind of a new strategy that we might be employing here.
You know, so session has kind of been processed. Wise as far as action and committees and on the floor, a little bit slow to kick off, and we expected that with the March 19th primary.
Yeah, coming
kind
up
of,
here.
And some newly appointed, you know, legislators that just came in this year, kind of get the new committees figured out.
Yeah, you need some time.
How they want to figure those out, how they want to staff those, and, you know, and then once that kind of gets going, you kind of start figuring things out. Well, we're coming up on a deadline for Senate bills to come out of committee on March 15th, so you will see in the next few weeks a little more action pick up before the primary, especially on the Senate side, but probably not on the House side because there's a lot more primary races going on there. So I would imagine that they want their members kind of, you know, working in their district.
Out there in the field.
Right. But on the Senate side, it'll still be pretty busy. And we've actually had an extremely busy session already with negotiation meetings and back and forth on bills that might be coming up and that might not. Can we get it worked out? So Betsy and I have been, you know, over there daily and a lot of hours already. I was joking the other day. I feel like it's already April, and there have been hardly any floor session or floor action at all.
That's insane.
So it's but I think a part of that is, like you said, that new strategy, a little bit. To talk on that, I usually our members and what you've historically have heard from our advocacy team and our state legislative team is how much defense or what we're opposing or what we're trying to fix or what we're trying to amend. And, you know, there's still plenty of that.
Yeah.
We still have bills out there that we find problematic or have concerns with. But we are known as an association for years because of the direction that Greg St. Alban and has kind of set is, you know, to find that compromise, to work out the problem, you know, without destroying the intent of the bill.
Yes.
Removing those inadvertent consequences that affect us.
Yeah.
And being known as people to come to the table to compromise.
Which is such an amazing style of working with government.
And, you know, it's we never really are outright to kill a bill unless, you know, it's really fundamentally against something that, you know, we stand for. But at the same time, you know, we do, because of that strategy and because of what we're known for, a lot of our time is taken up, you know, reacting to bills and that are introduced and, you know, not promoting or drafting too many of our own. So, you know, this year, similar to last year when we, our CEO, Jeff Baker, came up with a pretty big housing package and housing idea to put together, you know, and it went through the House Housing Committee, but, you know, never really got enough, I'd say, momentum or backing from the appropriate state agencies and administration needed to kind of get the ball rolling. So we wanted to really address some things this year and take some components out of that huge package and see if we can get them, you know, singularly just kind of worked on.
Sure.
So one of the first ones that was part of the package that we're going to try to promote and get through the legislature this year is the home buyer savings account.
Right. Okay.
So it's just would be similar to, it's a volunteer account that anyone that doesn't own a home at the time or wants to dedicate an account towards buying a new home or moving to a different home but haven't ever used a down payment assistance program before.
Right.
It's just like an HSA account, home savings or a health savings account. You know, it's an account that we will have to regulate, you know, the banks and the Department of Revenue have to regulate, but an account anyone can open up that is maybe renting and doesn't own a home that is dedicated just for purchasing a home in the future for down payment assistance, really. And because they open this account, everything they put into it, they get, you know, a tax benefit and a tax credit at the end of each year. And that's where that Department of Revenue.
Huge.
So, you know, people that are currently renting and can't see themselves being able to save specifically for a home or how to, you know, here's an avenue that you can put what you want into it when you want. Maybe it's an automatic thing that goes in there, but you have this security and you have this growing account that not only do you get, you know, tax back, you know, from it and a credit back from it, you hopefully will be able to assist you in the future of purchasing a home. So we've had Senator Castro sponsor that.
Excellent.
And like I said, with the March 15th deadline in the Senate, you know, I know we know that no bill is perfect ever.
Right.
but two of the bills that we're really trying to pass this year are pretty clarifying in nature and pretty kind of cut and dry, and this one's one of those.
Absolutely.
Definitely going to have to be some components on the regulatory side, but it's an idea that we're really excited about that it doesn't take a budget component to it, doesn't take an appropriation matter. It's just it can be separate of everything else the General Assembly does this year and just be a good idea to help spur some down payment assistance for home buying.
Oh, yeah, and anything to help plan ahead, especially with the market the way it is and with interest rates holding steady, not going up, but, you know, not dropping right now. Yeah,
it just seems like a simple idea that we could do to least spark some financial assistance in that area.
Yeah, and it sets people up for when the market does like stabilize a little bit more, and then you're going to be in a better position to do that. I know another one of our bills, though, that we wanted to talk about was a pilot program that we're talking about for EVO, correct?
Yeah, so part of that package that we did last year, the same kind of thing, is built kind of around that Rivian, those Rivian plants. And the idea is to, if these plants were coming and they were going to have all these 2,000 to 3,000 workers, you know, where were they going to live?
Yeah.
So we came up with a pilot program to incentivize development of new homes around those plants.
Around the plants, yeah.
So if you live within a 10-mile radius, you can get a 10% grant for land acquisition and up to 15% for development costs. And qualified development costs are, you know, you name it, from the permitting, from pre-development to actually brick and mortar. We covered it in those definitions.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, I think that one is going to be probably one that, I mean, we're going to really work hard and promote it, but having the component that it's going to have as far as appropriations and the pilot and with a different corporation that's coming in that are with the state grants they're getting already, and, you know, our idea to try to build, you know, a couple thousand homes around it using this grant, you know, I think that one's going to have some appropriation matter and be tied to the budget. So that one's going to probably have to have a little different process and going to have to go about that one differently as far as the home savings or the home buyer savings account, where that one's kind of clear, cut and dry, not tied to anything.
Yeah.
So that Rivian component, that pilot program, like that's really depending on what we see come from this budget and appropriations that are determined for those specific kind of projects. So,
yeah, but a wonderful synergistic thing with, you know, economic development with housing development, you know?
And it's just a way to, you know, because we keep saying that we're missing that missing middle, that starter home.
Yeah.
You know, here's a perfect opportunity with a great plant company coming in that's going to have 2,000 to 3,000 employees. To build 2,000 to 3,000 starter homes.
There's starter homes right there.
So, you know, I think it's a very, very brilliant catch and opportunity seized by our CEO, Jeff Baker, to kind of see that plan and see come up with this based upon hearing Rivian coming in and while addressing a crisis. And it just tackles like three different things. So I really like that pilot program idea. But like I said, that one will be a little tougher because of all the components it will have. Tied to not only the budget, but appropriations and state agencies. So that one will be tougher, but we're excited about it.
We are on it, everyone. I know we wanted to talk also, before we get out of here, about the crime-free housing issue that we are very much involved in right
now. Yes. So this is, you know, going back to when I was a GAD, a program that's spread throughout municipalities and counties in our state that has been very problematic for property owners, landlords, but also tenants.
Yes.
You know, and it involves, in a nutshell, in a 30,000-foot view, basically landlords acting as law enforcers and law enforcement agencies and tenants having to do certain things that they might not be comfortable doing. And if they do them or if they don't do them, they can be evicted because they didn't contact law. Yep, you know, so they're just these programs that deal with basically municipalities and counties regulating property owners or landlords or housing providers a certain way to act and respond and adhere to criminal activity.
Right.
As almost if they're law enforcement. And here's what you're required to do. Otherwise, we can remove your licensing as a landlord.
Yeah.
And here's what you got to require your tenants. And if they don't do it, you have to evict them.
Yeah.
So it's problematic. And we have fought all this over, for 20 years as an association. So one thing we wanted to start doing is when you look at some of the development and you look at some of the inventory we're talking about, especially in the rental inventory, you can see how those inadvertent consequences we talked about,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe the intent was good.
Yeah.
But you see how programs like this can disincentivize someone from wanting.
Absolutely.
To continue as a property owner, landlord, or housing provider, and or even want to begin as one.
Yeah.
So we really like the problematic programs like this that really don't inspire anyone to keep being involved in the program, and it kind of causes a headache, and municipalities are being sued by it. So we wanted to clarify state law and prohibit that. So our bill would prohibit any municipality or county from enacting, promoting, or implementing any crime-free housing program throughout the state. And within that bill is a certain components of crime-free that we see that we also list to make sure they're covered, such as tenant registries of nuisance properties and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things we've always had problems with that are outside the program when municipalities enact them on their own.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure we covered what things are in that program.
That's awesome.
And we, you know, we're working with a group for a long time that, you know, they kind of had their own bill a little bit, but our, you know, we really just want to start. We know it's not an issue or something that our bill is going to, just by prohibiting this program, that we're done.
Yeah.
You know, municipality should be done, you know, enforcing it, and so should counties, but whenever, if it passes and becomes law. But, you know, right off the bat, there, of course, there could be more work to do in that area.
Yeah, absolutely.
But our bill is simple in the fact that it's just clarifying state law. It says, here's what you can't do as municipality and a county to a landlord. Not the tenant, no. Just to that property owner regarding a program that we're prohibiting.
Yes.
So we're hoping that that one, I think we have a good amount of support with it right now. We have a really good sponsor, and it's in a good place. It's in a good position. And, you know, that's going to be one of our priorities in the next few weeks. But like I said, we still got that defense to play. So I'm very excited for this year. It's different, you know, to have bills to that you're promoting, that you're trying to get people on board with, and that's fun.
Actually convincing the legislators of,
you know, they're a little more pleasant conversations.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, we have some major problematic bills out there that we're going to have to work very hard on and hopefully come to some agreements on and hopefully get some serious amendments done to make them better and not problematic, but so it'll be a action-packed year, especially after March 19th.
Absolutely. And well, I mean, if there is one group that works hard, here at Illinois Realtors, our government affairs team, and you know, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way for you, our members, to support our government affairs team will be to come to Capitol Conference coming up here in April, I believe. April what? 17th, 18th, I think?
April 10th.
I'm only off by a week. Yep. Yeah, so coming up here on April 10th. Just real quick, Jimmy, before we get out of there, why is it so important for people to come to CapCon?
The biggest reason is that's your day to show your voice, your strength in your numbers, your power in our membership. You know, we have very involved, engaged members that I'm not just saying it's the best members in the world. I mean,
yes,
we hear it all the time. Like, how do you get this many people? Like, how are your members this well informed? And it's like, well, because they care. Involved.
Yeah,
and they care. So it's a way for your realtor voice to be heard and seen. And we have so many big issues this year and so many different things going on over there and so many great relationships with legislators and our members have great relationships with their legislator that it's a really fun day, but at the same time, it really is twofold in the sense that it shows the legislators and the elected officials of our state how powerful we are in our messaging and our unified voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side, it's a great way for our members to see how these issues you hear about and these updates you get from Betsy and Greg and I are how they're made, how it happens and what the process is and seeing it firsthand and also being around your realtor colleagues, and you know, and it's just a really, really great couple of days.
Yeah. So, really good time to get charged up, get informed, and of course get involved. Yeah. Which is what it's all about.
Obviously, you know, we've talked before, and we talk off before we hit record about how big of political junkies you and I are.
Yeah.
I mean. You give me an opportunity to be in front of my elected official and talking about my work and my industry. I mean, that's what I do for a living, so I love it. So I that's my favorite part of it is when in the day's done and you hear from a member that like, oh, I got to talk to Senator and we had a great conversation about that. That's my favorite part because, you know, they got to personally not only experience what the Capitol's like and what that advocacy action is like, but they got to personally speak to their representative or senator and share their thoughts. So that's my favorite part.
And speak for all those who aren't there too as well.
Exactly.
So yes, coming up everyone, April 10th, Capitol Conference here in Springfield. Registration is open right now. You can go to IllinoisRealtors.org under the events tab. You will see Capitol Conference and get yourself signed up to make sure that you are here. Jimmy, once again, just insanely fun. Just insanely fun talking to you.
Always a good time.
We love you. Our members love you. And just thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thanks, man. You're the best.
And of course, thank you, all of our listeners, for joining us on another episode of the Illinois Realtors Weekly Podcast. As always, give us a rating and a review on your podcast app of choice. And if you want any more content, simply search for Illinois Realtors on your favorite social media app. We will see you next week.